they do something for me. I don't think it's universal, you know, not everyone experiences the same kind of attachment to dogs as, you know, maybe we do.
Yeah.
But they, you know, for a large percentage of people, I think the relationship that you have with a dog is just so significant and so genuine, and it's it's a loving relationship.
Hi, my name is Kareem Musami.
And my name is Zach Apolongo.
And we are both first year students at Lafayette College enrolled in the dog course. You just heard Dr. Jeffrey Goldstein, Director of Health Services and College Physician, speaking of the significant role that dogs have played in his life. We sat down with him to learn more about his relationship with his dog, and we were also interested to hear some of his experiences in medical school.
Currently, he has a golden retriever named Munson, who is the first therapy dog to be brought into the Bailey Health Center. Dr. Goldstein explained to us the intriguing way that Munson got his name.
I name all my dogs after famous New York Yankees, by the way, which is why we came up with Munson. He's a Hall of Fame catcher for the Yankees.
As Caroline Knapp explains in her book, Pack of Two, relationships with dogs are much more complicated than people think. So I took a deep breath and tried to explain. This is a complicated task, trying to describe how a relationship with a dog can be healthy and sustaining and rich. Like Knapp has explained, Dr. Goldstein has endured some troubles during his training of Munson, especially on walks.
You know, I've tried to pinch her collar, and now I'm actually working with the trainer. We're doing an electronic collar.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's learning not to pull as hard. Mm-hmm. And I think after our training is over, he'll be great to walk.
Shock collars are a debate between many dog trainers around the world. Scientific research debates whether shock collars are equally effective as solely using positive reinforcement training techniques. For example, the Companion Animal Welfare Council, a UK-based organization, experimented by comparing the success in training with a shock collar versus without a shock collar. The results indicated that the use of shock collars were equally as effective as positive reinforcement training techniques alone, and challenged the idea among some traditional trainers that certain dogs required a tougher approach.
In class, we talked about whether the stories of dogs protecting their owners were genuine. We asked Dr. Goldstein what he thought about these heroic dog stories. Interestingly, he explained his stance from his personal experience with his dogs.
You know, I think it depends on the dog. I've not had any of my golden retrievers, the three of them have not been very protective of the house. I'm just not convinced that they had these dogs had that in them to protect the house.
In her book, Inside of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know, Alexandra Horowitz conveys her suspicion on these heroic dog stories. As she says, both the skeptical and the heroic talk can be displaced by a more powerful explanation, brought by looking more closely at the dog's behavior. Horowitz relays here, just as Goldstein does, that this protective behavior is not something dogs act on from prior thinking, but that it is from specific dog's breed and the behavior that is involved with that breed.
Knowing that he went to medical school, where he probably used animals in scientific experiments, we asked Dr. Goldstein about his opinion on using animals in these experiments. We were surprised to hear some of his own experiences.
I still have mixed feelings about it. You know, I think the research that we did, that I did as an undergraduate, you know, even that I published, led to breakthroughs in treatment of hypertension. And so it really benefited mankind with the research that we did using dogs.
Using animals in science can be controversial. Although Dr. Goldstein takes a largely utilitarian view of research on animals, including dogs, it is evident from his comments that this is a very complicated interaction.
And I talked to the professor about this because it bothered me a little bit. What he told me was, you know, these dogs that we're using were going to be killed. They were going to a kill house because no one had adopted them and in a kill shelter, and they were, at that time, they were going to be terminated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it made me feel a little bit better that they at least were contributing to scientific research. Part of the research project, we got to know these dogs pretty well.
Dr. Goldstein struggled with this complex situation. If the dogs were going to a kill house regardless, then was it a benefit to humans to use them in experiments instead? Martha Nussbaum explains the Judeo-Christian ethic that gives humans dominion over animals. Although that idea has been interpreted in a variety of ways, it has standardly been understood to give humans license to do whatever they like to non-human species and to use them for human purposes.
It appears that the Judeo-Christian ethic described by Nussbaum can be related to Dr. Goldstein's stance of using animals in experiments. While he may not wholly support the use of animals in experiments, we appreciated Dr. Goldstein's candid conversation with us about such a complicated idea.
The complex relationship between humans and dogs was also evident when we asked Dr. Goldstein if he truly believed dogs loved us.
I absolutely believe dogs experience many of the same emotions that humans do. They may not love, you know, on any intellectual level, but I think dogs possess the same repertoire of emotions that humans do. I mean, I think dogs, I know, I feel 100% dogs express anxiety in certain ways. They get sad like human beings do.
Similarly to Dr. Goldstein, Jeff and Masson believe that dogs do truly love us and experience similar emotions to us. In his book, The Dog Who Couldn't Stop Loving, he states, "You have had dogs who risked their lives for you or who loved you beyond all measure. You know this love because you have had direct experience of it, just as I do."
As a result of Dr. Goldstein's belief that dogs and humans experience similar emotions, Dr. Goldstein decided to train Munson into becoming a therapy dog. He now brings him into the health center every Wednesday to provide students with the opportunity to come and interact with him.
One student named Sam DeMeo had the opportunity to walk Munson and explained how he positively affected her. She told us, "I was having a very stressful day, so I went to the health center because I heard that there were dogs there to provide stress relief for all students. I met Munson and was able to walk him around the quad a little. He made me forget about my day, and all my stress had gone away."
When dogs and humans come in contact with each other, there is a positive effect on happiness and health of both the human and the dog. As Olmert has written in Made for Each Other, The Biology of the Human-Animal Bond, interactions with animals can lower a person's heart rate and blood pressure.
Dogs really help us manage our stress, and they help to manage when we're feeling down, and they help to boost, you know, our overall well-being. There's definitely plenty of research that, you know, being with a dog lowers blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely, you know, makes you feel more calm.
Our conversation with Dr. Goldstein helped us become aware of the many aspects about dogs that humans overlook every day.
We appreciate the time that Dr. Goldstein took to talk to us about his relationship with the health center's first therapy dog, Munson.